This is TurnbuckleTrash.net. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
I love video games and pro wrestling.
With three fans who know how to talk some trash.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess it's time to take out the trash.
Hi, everyone. This is Dave Dedden from Turnbuckle Trash. We're going to have a great podcast lined up for you. Coming up this evening, we're going to be talking with Christopher Evans. We're going to talk about big changes in the WWE with a new champion. Also, we're going to be hearing from Chris Jericho and Dan Lambert and a really funny line that I heard from Excalibur of all people on AEW. That's all coming up. But first off, we're going to speak to one of our favorite trash heads who's getting ready to have some very serious stuff, but we wanted to talk to him about professional wrestling. Mike Calvin joins us next on Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm Impact Wrestling World Tag Team Champion, the big LG Doc Gallows, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Trash Podcast.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
And if you're a big wrestling fan, there's a really good chance, a certainty that you've been teased or kidded, mocked and chided, derided for watching what people will refer to as the fake sport, phony sport, show business sport, which I say, okay, there are elements of all of that in what we do, but I'll also ask you to walk up even the most ardent sports enthusiast or MMA fan and say, hey man, does your sport continue when one of the participants is no longer conscious? Because mine does!
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
This is another edition of Turnbuckle Trash, where we get to talk about professional wrestling with our friends. And we have a couple of good friends together today. They're going to talk professional wrestling, and occasionally I will break in with my own little thoughts. It's Christopher Evans. Chris, you invite our new guest on.
Well, he's been a friend of mine for a long time. We have been from elementary school to high school. I have taught this man in martial arts as well. He's a good friend of mine. Treat him just like a brother. This is Mike Calvin. Hey, Mike, how's it been going with you, brother?
Oh, been better, but everything's going good.
Yeah, I bet, man. Hey, listen, we understand that you've had your views about AEW and also with the WWE. But let me ask you a question. What do you see that's going on between the two companies that you find that's different between AEW and the WWE, or why is AEW right now, you know, the best place for people to jump to?
So I think with AEW, the reason why it's a better place to jump is because they're actually, I guess, gathering talent. A lot of people will sit there and I've seen on the internet, and I think me and you've talked before, you know, they compare AEW to WCW. As soon as WWE releases their wrestlers, you know, WCW jumped right on them back in the 90s. However, the difference is these guys can work. They know, you know, they came from the indies, you know. And that's where I think AEW is kind of, you know, they're looking at all the talent that's been released, and they're not really signing. I wouldn't say they're signing everybody, because I think Braun Strowman, I think he's going to, I think the rumor's Impact.
Wow.
But as Titan, from what I understand, that's his new name. I think he has a match coming up with EC3? Yeah. So I think that's his next book, or his first book match after WWE let him go.
Wow.
So it's not like they're just gathering all this, you know, bad talent. You know, they got Bryan Danielson. Punk, I'm a big Punk fan just because he's good on the mic and he could work. The match from the last pay-per-view, he had rust, but he still looked decent. I'm not a big fan of, I mean, and this is coming from me. I was not a big AEW fan when it first came out. I seen it, and then I seen kind of where they was leading into it as, what is it? They would look at it as just an indie show trying to compete with WWE because they had a big money backer.
Okay.
And that wouldn't work. Everybody knows, you know, nobody's going to get rid of WWE. I see WWE could go away if they stay going with the direction they're going. Their creative sucks. Was it Killer Cross?
Uh-huh.
Came up with something, was like Super Shredder, you know, his new gimmick. He had a good run with NXT. Why are you going to mess with that? This big undefeated guy, and you're going to mess with that, you know, he can work. But hey, yeah, let's tweak this. I think Vince can't get out of his own way, and he's stuck into the, well, you have to be this type, or you have to be this mold.
Well, you also have to remember that Vince McMahon wants to be the Walt Disney of professional wrestling, and he just doesn't, I think what it is Vince is trying to destroy his own company within. Look what he's done with Triple H, look what he's done with NXT. He can't keep his hands off of things. And Uncle David, chime in, please, about this. You think that Vince is not trying to, you know, destroy the company. Do you think that he's too much in the way? He doesn't want to let the reins go.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Chris, because it appears that Mr. Vincent Kennedy McMahon is kind of doing a power play right now to me. Now, you know, he's been brilliant in some of his business moves over the years. So look what he did to the whole industry of professional wrestling and his importance in the world of pay-per-view. I mean, we probably wouldn't have all the different streaming services and all the different pay-per-views and things that are in the everyday life that we go with right now. If it wasn't for Vince McMahon taking that big chance on WrestleMania, that was a big chance on his part. And then when he put out one of the first streaming services, which was the WWE, and he's did the brand split. He got the new contract with Fox. But I think with the NXT that he's kind of overstepping a little bit. And there's conflicting reports of how much power he will wield when he goes to NXT. That's just nothing here or there. But I don't know if you guys heard, but Triple H, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, had some sort of cardiac event and had to be taken to the hospital yesterday.
Well, I think what it is, the stress is starting to get to Hunter pretty badly because, I mean, he was the one that built the NXT from the ground, not from the ground up, but he was the one that was there, and that's his baby. And now you jerk it away from him. And this new guy that I've never heard of, Mr. Khan, that is the president of the WWE, not related to Tony Khan. This guy doesn't know a thing about wrestling. He's a businessman. That's all he is. He's a businessman. And what is the one thing they always say? Businessmen in professional wrestling do not belong. In suits, they don't belong in professional wrestling because they don't know anything about it. Mike?
Absolutely. To me, when I seen, like, with a lot of the releases and a lot of the talent, I mean, they actually are seeing something where, like, they did away with catering. Catering, I think it was charging them, like, $20,000 a month for catering. Okay, yeah, I can see you cutting costs there, but, I mean, you're a big company, and, like, why are you cutting some of the talent? Like, to me, was it Bray? He is a big mismanaged talent. He could work, or I'm not going to say he could 100% work, because he was kind of like that basic big brawn, you know, just beat you down work style, but he was outstanding on the mic. he got the whole crowd just eating out of the palm of his hand, and he was supposed to be the heel. And they would push him, and then they'd stop. They would push him and then stop. Or they would push him and then make him lose, you know, the big title matches. Or, you know, the big names. Once he got big enough to, you know, push the big names, he would lose those. I mean, yeah. He came in and got squashed by Goldberg. Just so they could set Goldberg up for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And, I mean, why? You're killing your talent when you do that.
I think that's very astute of you calling that ruining their talent doing that, because there's it seems to me a lack of leadership there and coherence in the wrestling industry that is the WWE.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. I mean, you've got the people that have been in the back stories, but you've also got people in the back that know a little bit about wrestling. I mean, you got Triple H, you got Shawn Michaels, you got the older talent that has retired or semi-retired, and they should be the ones that takes the reins of everything. I mean, the older generation of professional wrestlers that they have should be able to, you know, come up with these storylines. Who in the world are coming up with some of these storylines? It makes no sense. Mike, you think that they've just, you know, hey, you used to work for Days of Our Lives or NBC. Can you write a wrestling show? Well, come on in.
Actually, it's kind of funny because I had a big there's another one of my friends from work. He was in the Marine Corps. He was a big wrestling fan. And he actually looked into, hey, what does it take for me to, you know, be, you know, creative or, you know, wrestling? He actually went to Dave, you might be able to remember this. He had with Kevin Owens. It was back in early 2000 or like early, like 2010. The 2012, 24, Steve Corino, I think it is.
Oh, yeah.
He actually has a wrestling school here around my area. And he actually was going to that. And to be a creative, you just have to have a degree. Like, you don't even have to have an English degree. It's just a degree. And then you go in. I'm like, how are you going to write stories with that?
Well, you really cannot write angles if you don't know the product. I mean, look back on into the 70s and 80s. Their storylines were so creative because they would catch people's eye. Look at like Austin and Vince McMahon. People would crowd around and talk about this for days. And they couldn't wait for Monday Night Raw. They wanted to see if Austin would get back at McMahon or when what the war was going to be like between WCW and Monday Night Raw. What was it going to be? And now it's, okay, who are they letting go this time?
Right.
That's what we think now. Who are they letting go this time from the WWE? Who's going to sign now with AEW? But Mike, there's been a name that has not that AEW has contacted them, that has contacted this gentleman four or five times, and that's Kurt Angle, and he's told him to take a flying flip. And there's also another one that we just got through watching. What did you think of Mick Foley's little video that he did? Was it 100% correct? Because Dave will say yes, and I will say yes.
I agree. Everything with Mick.
Hardcore legend Mick Foley. I'd like to title this video WWE, We've Got a Problem, because I think you do. And that problem is that WWE is no longer the place for talent to aspire to. Part of it is because AEW is doing a great job of attracting great talent, proven talent, building other talent, creating storylines. But part of it is a problem of your own making. I think younger talent sees the way that developmental characters are cut or left by the wayside, or in the case of Karrion Kross, greatly watered down and even made a joke of when they debut on the main roster. If it's not broke, don't fix it. If I was an aspiring talent now, big league talent with a major decision to make, I'm not sure that I would trust WWE Creative to do the right thing with my career. You guys did wonders with me back in the day, but that was a different time, different place. If it was today, I'm not sure I would trust the powers to be with my career in their hands. And until that changes, WWE, you've got a problem.
I agree with Mick. I mean, they're going nowhere with creative. And it's these big push, little push, or no, I really don't want this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think in I can't remember if it was the last podcast or the podcast before. It was one of y'all said something about they would write storylines 6 months out. I remember seeing an interview with Michael Hayes. As soon as WrestleMania was over, they started for the next WrestleMania and wrote backwards.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I don't think they do that anymore.
No, because Vince comes in, and Uncle David, you can say this too, because you've read it, you've seen, Vince will come in and write the last damn second, and he will tear up the scripts, and then he'll start rewriting them. How can a talent do that? How can the talent just learn how to do this? Now they're supposed to do this on the fly?
There's a couple things I think that has actually hurt the wrestling business. One, when WCW went away, you no longer had the wars. Of course, now granted, you know, I'm not going with, you know, what's better, you know, our era of wrestling versus this era of wrestling. But when WCW, you had a big player, now it went away. Yeah, you had Impact, you had Ring of Honor, you had some of the smaller ones, and none of them was trying to compete except for TNA or Impact. When Impact was trying to compete, they took the story off of WCW route. Hey, we got a big money backer. Well, Hogan brought attention, so let's get Hogan in here. Let's get, you know, Sting and stuff like that. And don't get me wrong, Sting is one of my favorite, but let's get Sting in here. Let's get this, you know, and it's like, God, you're doing the exact same thing WCW did, and you are burying the talent that brought you up to what people are watching. Your AJ Styles, Rudes, Joe. Like, Joe's first loss was to Angle, a big name, you know, wrestling guy that came from WWE. Why couldn't have he lost to, like, Abyss or, you know, somebody that would be big enough to, you know, push Joe around?
That's another thing. Do we know if Abyss is still with the WWE now? Is he in creative? Is he out of creative? I haven't heard anything about him.
I mean, I would say the last I heard, he was still part of it, but I don't know what his role is.
Uncle David?
Yeah, I would agree. I've heard that Vince wants to kind of step away a little bit. Then he gets the power plays and he goes into the arenas and just tearing up the script that they already had written. That's got to be disheartening for the people who do the writing and get the storyboards all together. So I think they're basically suffering from a lot of depression because AEW's taken pretty much the best of your best and putting it on race car remote controls and remote control things for Darth Vader and Darth Maul. And that's part of the marketing strategy, especially for Disney, is to give them a reason to come back. They want to hear their latest exploitations of the human of the human environment. And by the way, on Radio Guy Reflections, I found part of an interview that I didn't do. I mean, my associate there. We're going to look back at how radio worked during the 9/11 tragedy, we're going to talk about how the strategies have completely changed. But as far as Vince and them go, if you are a writer, you can't come in and write gold every week just off the top of your head, and that's just something that I see Vince doing more and more. We talk about this a few times a year when Vince doesn't show up to an event or changes things to the last minute like he did a week ago Monday when Alexa Bliss was supposed to take on Charlotte Flair, and they changed it to a triple threat match without Rhea even, without her even being there. So Vince is on a little bit of a power trip. I hope it just doesn't hurt the rest of the WWE, and somebody will have the opportunity to stand up to him someday.
I would love to say someone would, but he surrounds himself by all these yes men, Laurinaitis and Dunn. I think they're there. They know that's their money ticket. Well, whatever you say, boss.
Well, you just have to remember now that AEW is a company that's going to give Vince a run for his money, and no one's going to shut Vince down. There's no way. Every wrestler will say it to you. There's no way that anyone is going to shut Vince down. But all we can do, guys, is just, you know, watch wrestling, be happy about it, that it's still going on. If it comes to your town, come and see it. And, Mike, is there anything that has, you know, sparked an interest with you with other organizations like the NWA, Impact, New Japan, Ring of Honor, anything like that?
So I was sitting there thinking about that, because I know y'all kind of, like, watch a lot. It's hard. So I've tried to watch some of New Japan, but with me having to watch, like, read the subtitles and not understand even the voiceovers when it was Jim Ross and the MMA heavyweight.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
I mean, it was still just hard to watch because you would see them, like, stuff just didn't match.
Got you.
And right. So, I mean, it's hard for me to watch that, and then it's just hard for me to find, like, I can get Ring of Honor. Was it the Briscoes?
Yeah.
Like the Briscoes. Briscoes have been, you know, but it's still not enough to, like, hey, I want to watch Ring of Honor because every time, you know, the Briscoes are there.
Well, it's hard to find any wrestling because they're on, like, the NWA's on Fight TV. They're not, I can't even get myself, so I don't know. But, so, well, is there anything else that you would like? We understand that you're, don't really want to bring up any news, but how is everything going with your health as with this moment right now, sir?
So it really hurts. I got a tattoo in my colon today. That sounds really painful. And I was awake for all of it, so that was fun.
Joy.
But the good the good side to all this is next Friday, I'm having a surgery. It is removable. I don't know any stages. I don't know anything like that. They won't know until they remove it and, you know, send everything off to get tested and, you know, actually have cancer doctors look at it.
I got you.
But I am having the surgery, and it is next Friday.
Well,
we do keep you in our prayers, brother. We know everything's going to be just fine, and we appreciate you coming on to the show. And we really wanted to do this with you because it's been a while since we were able to talk to you on the show. Because with all the pandemic and everything, and we've just been back and forth with health conditions. My work has been just crazy, stupid crazy. But, man, we really appreciate you being on the show and giving your expertise on what you've seen and what you think. And I've got another question for you. Do you believe that all these releases from the WWE is to pay the contracts of Becky and Brock?
I don't know if that would be a thing. To me, the way I look at it, I think he's trying to sell the company and just get out of it outright. Because why else would you bring a businessman in to set up your company to, other than to sell?
Yeah, that's I can buy that. I'll bite that.
And then now you look at all these releases, and it's not just certain talent releases. Like, they're almost reorganizing the whole WWE. They done away with the foreign, I think they shut down, was it the Japan?
Yep.
NXT?
Yeah, they shut down NXT in Japan, I believe, and I'm surprised the UK is not next, but we shall see.
Since I'm on here, I got a question for Dave, because me and you talked about it briefly, Chris.
Okay.
And It's for AEW, and okay. It's with all the, you know, the recent releases and stuff like that. And this is what I would like to see, and I wanted to kind of get your, I guess, opinion on it. So you got Danielson, Punk, Adam Cole, and now. So I would bring those three in. I like where they're going with Punk. If you anybody's seen like the last AEW, it's him and now against Team Taz. So he's not coming in straight for a title. He's not doing anything but to just work with talent. Danielson, he came in. I think he would be the only one to come in since Cole has aligned himself with the Elite to be like the first jump shot over for a title. I would kind of prefer more of them to kind of stay back and let, you know, keep pushing what got you there, and then eventually have them, you know, kind of earn it, like the way they're supposed to be set up. But what would you think about if they did get Flair to come in and recreate the, like, legit Four Horsemen? I know they tried with Tully, Arn, and FTR, Sean Spears, and I would put FTR because they're an outstanding tag team, so that's like your Arn and Ole, or Arn and Tully. You got put MJF in there because that could be your Flair, and then just add one other guy. And then, because it looks like they're already, you know, AEW is kind of set up on stables, because you got, I mean, I can't even name all this, like Taz, Elite, Inner Circle, Dark Order.
Well, the Dark Order is fixing to break up more than likely.
And I kind of hate for that, but I think Dark Order would be good if Brody Lee didn't pass.
True.
They could have been a good stable. But to have bring in a Four Horsemen and have it dominant like it was, but not run off the 80s, you know, all of that, but have the new talent, but with that power.
What would you say? I want to say new NXT, but no, that's not right. The new NWA, and let them run with it, and either they're going to succeed or they're going to fall. And that's the way things are in life as we go now. Your ceiling fans can help move a little air to keep you cool off. But if you think it's too much with a watering bill and your utilities to pay that much for a small little cow, it doesn't make any much sense. But I've said this once before, and I'll say it again. Go to a concession stand during a major sporting event, whether it's college football, basketball, whatever the event is. They're going to have some expensive items there as swag bags. And I think the whole situation has just gotten almost to the boiling point. And somebody just needs to say, enough is enough. That was me.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
But I would like to see the Horsemen maybe come back, at least a reunion, maybe bring in Barry Windham just for a one-shot to have them all there, you know, flashing the sign. Then Tully would be a good one to hit up the new Four Horsemen. But he's with the Pinnacle right now, and how long will that last? But you know, there's a lot of possibilities for people to have for the new Four Horsemen, or just getting Tully and Arn to, you know, flash the sign to them each one, which they've already done that right after Tully came in. He was coming in with Brian Cage, and so up on the stage, there are those two doing the two sweet, you know, just enjoying what they were doing as far as pro wrestling went at that time.
Gentlemen, it has been one heck of a podcast. Mike, really appreciate you being on here. You've had some, you know, great things to say about AEW and the WWE, and plus with some other things that we have too. But, man, I'm telling you, I don't watch that much of AEW. I don't get it for right now. But, man, these guys are taking off like rockets. Let's see how long the rocket will last up in the air, or when does it finally sizzle out? Because their ratings, good Lord. the ratings that I've seen are like Memphis ratings back in the day when Memphis was so hot back in the 80s and 90s.
But did you see AEW beat Raw this week?
AEW will always beat Raw. There's just no.
Now,
I mean, a rerun of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood could probably beat Raw right now.
So it's a beautiful day in my ring. Would you come into my ring? But yeah, there the thing that you guys have been talking about with AEW beating Monday Night Raw was in a key demographic. That's what advertisers look for. It wasn't overall ratings and all that. The overall ratings for AEW, although did improve after the big pay-per-view, they're still going to be hanging around 100, 1 million, maybe 1,100, or maybe get up 15 before things change a little bit. The big change is coming because you're going to have the National Hockey League that's going to be broadcasting on USA Network. You're going to also have the hockey that's going to be going through Central and Missouri, and they've had flooding there at times recently too. So it's a great time, as Zane would say, it's a great time to be a wrestling fan. And the one thing that I don't agree with is the way other wrestling fans treat other wrestling fans. You know, my battles with Troy, and I'm going to try to get Troy on, if not this podcast, another one. It seems like everything he does is negative towards AEW. And I sent on social media for their approval to, you know, they always want their approval before they post it. And it was something about Popeye the Sailor Man, which couldn't be made today. And, boy, you could just see the daggers coming out of some of the wrestlers when they would talk about that, because they think the horse women are the horse women. Who's going to complain?
Well, you know, social media is just, you know, that was the downfall of professional wrestling right there, was social media.
It is. I hate to say it. I was definitely in Troy's boat with AEW. I didn't like it. I don't like the Bucks. I don't like Omega. And I think their segments are way too long on the shows that they have. I mean, it's like just sitting through 3 hours of Raw. But I don't like them. But the other talent, I'm starting to get behind the other talent.
Well, we've discussed it before, Mike. You probably have heard it on the podcast where people are complaining that it's all WCW, all WWE talent that's moving over. But, I mean, people move to new jobs all the time, guys, you know, so stop complaining about it. You know, somebody will go from McDonald's to Burger King, and then they might wind up as a manager of Wendy's. We all start at the bottom pretty much as we go throughout this whole life, and I think it's 8 homes within the first 26 years that people say that they will have 8 homes before they settle down. And I can attest to that. So,
well what was it with the? Sorry, one last thing. For you, Dave, with the AEW and, you know, being cast like WCW, I absolutely agree. But it's not like the early 90s. I think it was like the late 80s, right when they didn't know who the booker was, and they just started going through bookers, and then the business people stepped in. So I think we're right in that area of where AEW is right now. So, but it's still a new company, so they're still just going through those 8 campaigns to try to iron all their bugs out.
Yeah, they just had their 100th Dynamite show. 100, a lot of people didn't think they'd make 3 weeks. But the big difference between what the product you're getting on AEW and the product you're getting with the WWE, it's all professional wrestling or sports entertainment, whatever you want to call it. It's when you get those performers in there that can make a mark like myself or you guys to make you go, oh, man, that looked like that hurt, or get that suspension of belief and get rid of it, because you're going to go, wow, that's just fun to watch. And that's, I'm hoping we'll get to more of the, wow, I just really like this match. I like that match. And But I'm not looking for it to happen anytime soon because of the pandemic, and there's going to be more hard feelings out there. And I'm hopeful that that's not going to mean the demise of more wrestling companies, because it's already happened.
That is very, very true. Absolutely true. And if you really want to see some funny things, go onto YouTube and type up AEW bloopers.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
You will see some of the funniest stuff that you have ever seen in your life. And their AEW now has wrote a letter to YouTube and to the people that have created these bloopers to cease and desist.
Yes.
And the man, I guess he got on his little web or whatever it was on YouTube and told them to take a long walk off a short pier.
Yep.
He would still do this. So, but guys, it's been a lot of fun. We've had a blast. Mike, thank you for being on the podcast. You have given us some insight on another fan's perspective, because that's what we are. We're just fans. We're not experts at all. We just love
this
business.
Yep. Well, Mike, once again, we thank you. And of course, with your surgery coming up, we will keep you in our thoughts and prayers. And please, yes, let us know how it goes. And you know that the other trash heads out there, besides Chris and myself, and you got Zane and you got Richard, is always on our Facebook page. We all wish you nothing but the best.
Yes, we do. Well,
I appreciate it. And thanks for having me on. I enjoyed it like I did last time.
All right, my man. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you later on. Yep.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay. Hi,
this is Dave Denton. Let my voice go to work for you. It's davesvoiceworks.com. Spell works, W-O-R-X. And you can hear samples of my on-air work and also some of the commercials I've done over the years. And while you're there, check out my other podcast, which is called Radio Guy Reflections. There's pictures from some of my career and more, all at davesvoiceworks.com. davesvoiceworks.com. Spell works, W-O-R-X.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Wait for the signal. Wait for it. Let's go.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Once again, we'd like to wish the best of luck to Mike as he gets ready for his very major surgery. And Mike, we appreciate you coming on with us to share some of your thoughts. He's one of our favorite trash heads. And we also would like to invite anyone that would like to be on with us sometime. We can set it up. We can have a nice little interview and a little talk about professional wrestling. Just contact me on the Facebook page, and we'll get it all set up, okay? Joining us right now is another one of our favorite trash heads, because he's been with us all along. It's James Christopher Evan. It's Chris on the mat. Hi, Chris.
Well, I got to back up now because somebody decided they don't know how to drive in North Carolina. Idiot. Okay, well, it's wonderful to be here on Turnbuckle Trash. Thank you for having me on again, and let's talk some professional wrestling.
Let's do that. We've had not necessarily as busy of the last couple of weeks as we've experienced, but it has been an important week because we have a brand new WWE champion on Monday Night Raw, cashing in Money in the Bank, Big E. What did you think about that?
Like, we didn't see this coming a mile away when Big E tweeted, "I'm cashing in no matter what." Oh, what's going to happen tonight? Oh, come on. Oh, the big reveal. Now, you tell me, do you think that was Vince's way of trying to get more ratings? I mean, having the people come up more? I mean, did you find it exciting?
No. And, no. You know, I think you're right in the aspect that they lost that element of surprise when they talked about Big E coming to Monday Night Raw to cash in his Money in the Bank suitcase. They did that on SmackDown. And I'm going, why do that? Why not get the excitement in the crowd going? But I do believe they thought that they would be able to recycle, is what it's called, recycle audience from SmackDown to Monday Night Raw, because Raw's ratings have been in the El Toilet as of late. Yeah, I mean, not even the bidet can help them sometimes. I mean, they're just...
No, I mean...
The ratings are terrible.
It was so obvious that Big E was going to win the championship that night. But I mean, it's a well-deserved. He deserves the championship. Don't get me wrong, folks.
Right. I agree.
He deserves that belt. But can't you give him something to where it's a surprise to everybody? No, but he should never have tweeted. He should never have done anything. It should have been a surprise. As soon as Bobby Lashley won the match, that's when Big E's music should have hit right there.
But it would have been cool if they were showing him backstage with Kofi and Xavier, and just having a little bit of a reunion. Say, I came to support you guys tonight. I was in town, blah 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 blah, and then having kind of holding that briefcase and not saying I'm going to cash it in tonight. I just thought it was poor booking. I understand why they were trying to recycle audience and trying to get people tuning in, but it just got rid of that element of surprise that we've talked about so much on this very podcast.
Why do they have to spoil everything like this? It's almost like you go into Thanksgiving dinner and then all of a sudden you're handed a ham sandwich. Really? Come on.
I like ham.
Well, I like ham too, but I like my turkey as well with my gravy.
Yeah.
But you know what? I mean, but the thing of it is that we didn't even get a turkey sandwich. We got a bologna sandwich that wasn't even fried. So, come on. It wasn't good. The show was the RK Bro. I'm tired of RK Bro.
Now, I disagree with you there. I disagree with you there.
You like it?
I do, and so does Zane.
Okay. Well, that's great. I mean, that I just can't stand that voice. And I don't like Riddle, but I think Randy's doing his best work. But they should have let Randy win and then Bobby do something. And then here comes Big E.
Yeah.
Just the double reverse. But that's neither here nor there now. It's already over. Big E is the champion.
No, how long, though? Yeah, how long? That's the big question.
How long?
Now, let's talk about that element of surprise. You have no element of surprise for Monday Night Raw. You go to the last pay-per-view for AEW. Now, you knew CM Punk was going to be there. You knew he's going to take on Darby Allin. But we weren't quite sure of another couple. We knew that Bryan Danielson was going to be part of AEW, and everyone speculated that he was going to be there. But we'd had no idea about Adam Cole, bye-bye. And then him turning from a face to a heel right on the same show.
Yep.
There's that. And, you know, the wrestling world went crazy for that show because of the way it ended, because of that element of surprise.
And no one expected Daniel to come in. No one expected Adam Cole to even – we didn't even think Adam Cole was going to be there. Bam.
Yeah.
He shows up, and you know Vince was probably just sitting in his chair, probably downing the first thing of booze he could find, going, "Boy, I screwed up."
But on AEW, did you like the part where Adam Cole was talking to Tony Schiavone in the ring, and he looks at him and he says, "Now I know that you're friends with Britt Baker, Dr. Britt Baker," and he says, "But if you have one wrong eye turn at you, I'm going to take you out," something like that. I thought that was so clever. And on the week before the big pay-per-view, Britt Baker, on her match, she did that Panama Sunrise, but they call it the Pittsburgh Sunrise. The same move of Adam Cole. And I said, "Oh, Adam's coming soon." So, you know, but they still had that element of surprise that they lacked on Monday Night Raw, And I think it was a huge mistake on their part, and I'm hoping that they'll start going back to that, having somebody show up that's nobody expects, and then have them show up. You know, like Brock Lesnar. Nobody expected Brock to show up.
Yeah, no one expected it, and all of a sudden, and then they had Brock come out on Friday Night SmackDown with the twist reverse of, "Why didn't you tell Roman that I was coming to SummerSlam?"
Right.
And then they had that, and the moment it was there, but then I think they drug it out too much. But let's just say this. Do you think – let's go back to AEW. Do you think that Darby Allin, after he got done, after they were done with their match with CM Punk, do you think Darby Allin gained more publicity and became a hotter star after that match?
You know, I do. I really do. And I will take you back to something that we had last podcast with CM Punk. And if I can find it really quick, I'll try to put it in here. CM Punk said the ideal thing on something like that is to have a good match, but have whoever loses not coming out looking as bad.
I thought Darby was a great start because he's a great opponent. The fans love him, and I thought that we did a great job of not trying to sway that. Hopefully, to me, pro wrestling is the best when everybody involved in something comes out looking better.
And Darby mm-hmm. Allin is still, I mean, on this past week when he wrestled, man, the pop was there. So he still is very popular, and I think it didn't hurt him. I'll say that. Didn't hurt him at all.
Well, that's good. I mean, the boy is doing really well. I mean, his shirts are selling pretty well, and he's doing everything. He's putting his life on the line every time he does that coffin drop, but whatever it's called. But it's I give the man credit. He can do better than I could have done in that ring.
Right.
I mean, good Lord, have mercy. But Lord, maybe that boy can fly.
Now, this week also, ahead. The other big news this week for the WWE and Titan Sports was the change of NXT to NXT 2.0, and just a little color change it up the off. And wasn't it just about a year ago that they started that Capital Wrestling Center that was supposed to hark back to the old days? And the one thing I did like was Tommaso Ciampa winning the belt. I predicted that on Facebook. I just think he is so good. But what's going to happen next with Tommaso Ciampa? Because Rob Ricksteiner, remember Rob Steiner of the Steiner Brothers? His son is now wrestling in the WWE.
And Rick Steiner's son. Ooh, he's a powerhouse.
He is, and he's going to be a good one. I mean, so I wouldn't be surprised the way they ended it with Ciampa, and then he was looking at Steiner's son. I can't remember what they even called the guy now because they changed it at the last minute, changed his name. But they were both having a stare down. So how long will Ciampa keep that? But, boy, what a great way to give somebody a push, some young guy a push, to put him up against an established star like Tommaso Ciampa. Go ahead.
It's about time they put the belt back on Ciampa. It's been 980 days, and then now Goldie is back in Daddy's arms. So, I mean, it's about time they put the gold back on his. He deserves it. He's a great guy, great in the ring, great ring general. But, wow, it's just NXT has done this. Who in the world was on the LSD when they came back up with this, this color scheme?
Well, they were trying to be younger and hipper, trying to get to the young folks, the hip crowd, the people that smoke marijuana.
Yeah, well, you know what? Mick Foley said it best. WWE, we have a problem.
Yeah. Now, the Rick Steiner, Rick Steiner, that's what I was going to say. Rob Steiner's son's name on TV is Bron Breakker. That's what they're calling him now, Bron Breakker. But there were a lot of references to Rick Steiner. And I think that's good. And then they had the marriage that actually went off with Index. I thought that was very well done. So I came out when they were talking about changing NXT, and I said this: I'll praise them if it works, and if it doesn't work, I will give my opinion. And I thought some of it worked, some of it didn't, but they're still trying to get their. It's like a new wrestling promotion with Vince coming in there and taking over some of the backstage duties, and then with Hunter having his recent heart problems. So, I still going to give him a little bit of a break. But there were some parts of the new NXT 2.0 that I really liked, but there's still, I still hesitate bringing in so many new faces on one show. I mean, there was new faces everywhere. People have been going, who's that now? Who's that? Oh, I might have seen him once, as as a second. You know, I don't know what it was. It was just,
yeah, I mean,
there was new people was all over. Yeah. And you didn't know their backstory. You didn't know them. So I hope that they will slow that down a little bit, but still bring in the new talent, because I have nothing against old talent or the new talent. And the old talent sometimes needs to step aside and put people over. And I suspect that's what they're doing with Tomasa Ciampa, and letting him put over the new guy, Bron Breakker. I think, but it's going to be good. This Breakker kid, our Steiner's son, is going to be a star. He's going to be there.
Yeah, he's going to be there. I mean, he's built like a brick house. I mean, he doesn't look anything like his daddy, but his daddy was kind of, you know, he wasn't a big guy. He was bulky, but he wasn't a real big guy.
Right.
But this boy right here, whoo, somebody gave him the meat and the potatoes two times over. So this boy is huge.
Yeah, he's kind of got a little bit more of his uncle in him, as far as, you know, got the bodybuilder look.
I hope he doesn't have his uncle. I hope he doesn't have his uncle's temperament.
Yeah, me too. I hope he understands what wrestling really is, and mm-hmm. because Scott has kind of burned some bridges in the past, so
and he doesn't know his arithmetic either. So
yeah, he's not one of those people you want to have on the microphone most of the time. So.
No, he's the kind of guy you want to go, look, that's it. You're done. You're done. But, no, it was really interesting to watch. I didn't get to see the NXT, but I got to see it on YouTube. The stage and everything looks like somebody just threw a bunch of paint up there and said, there you go, it's done. And it's no wonder Triple H is having heart problems. He's watching his baby die right in front of his eyes. So no wonder he was having heart problems.
Yeah. And so we're recording this on Thursday, and so you won't know that we're not turning our back on the people from SmackDown, because they still have a program coming up. And then in 2 weeks, we're going to have Extreme Rules for the WWE. And I'm going to ask you this. Will it be Extreme Rules or Extreme Drools?
Extreme Drools. It'll be Extreme Rules.
Now, don't you think that when you have an Extreme Rules pay-per-view, that every match should have some sort of stipulation in it?
Yeah, it should. I mean, I want to see Big E come out on SmackDown and get in Roman's face and go, okay, it's time. Let's just have one champion.
Yeah, that's not going to happen yet.
I know it won't happen, but I'd love for it.
Yeah.
Winner takes all. But no, it's not going to happen. Now, I've heard a rumor, and I don't know if it's a rumor or not. I hope it is a rumor. I hear that Brock and Roman will go for the title at Crown Jewel. That's what they're saying.
Yep.
But Extreme Rules, let's go back to Extreme Rules. No, it's not going to be Extreme Rules. There's nothing going to be extreme about it. The only extreme is going to be is going to be the pay-per-view that you're going to have to buy. That's going to be extreme.
Yeah, I just wish they would have, you know, like they used to do the TLC pay-per-view, tables, ladders, or chairs, and there'd be a tables match, there'd be a ladders match, and I think that lends itself to more of an Extreme Rules. Now, you talk about Extreme Rules, you could do what they're doing on AEW, and I keep on trying to compare the two, but let's talk about creativity and going back for some good old creativity in AEW. There is a masked wrestler, and I'm sorry, I can't remember his name right offhand. He's going to be wrestling Miro for the TNT Championship.
I saw that.
Yeah, and if he loses, Miro gets his car. That's what I'm talking about with Extreme
Rules. That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar.
They've done that from the time of Sputnik Monroe back in Memphis.
Yeah,
you know, they've done it year, and it's a great, great gimmick. You know, somebody puts up their car, somebody puts up $25,000, somebody puts up their wife's hair. Yeah,
yeah. Well, like Bill Dundee did that.
Yeah,
he had to put up his wife's hair.
Jerry Lawler lost his hair in a match with Austin Idol when Tommy Rich was underneath the ring and came out and helped Austin Idol win. And then they're also, they might be doing something like that in AEW, because Matt Hardy, Big Money Matt, has been saying he's going to cut Orange Cassidy's hair. So my wife's not happy about that. She loves her some Orange Cassidy.
I heard that. Wow.
That
I didn't even have to have the I didn't even have to have the phone on. I heard that all the way out. Like, let me roll down the window real quick. Whoa.
My poor little wife loves some Orange Cassidy now.
Wait a minute. He'll look like Shawn Michaels without the lazy eye.
Yeah, but that's probably what they're going to be going to, maybe for the next pay-per-view, or maybe even, you know, like when they're doing one of their Friday nights, or maybe even on Dynamite. It's extreme. It's a different rule. And I think the WWE has missed the mark so many years in a row with their extreme rules pay-per-view. I still say every match should have some stipulation, something. And they could be very creative with this thing. You know, like when on NXT, when LA Knight won his match against To the Moon.
Oh, yeah.
So who's that?
To the Moon.
Who's that? Cameron Grimes.
Cameron Grimes, yeah.
To the Moon. I love that guy. So, you know, that was a stipulation. They could do something like that. They, you know, remember when Dusty Rhodes won a stipulation match where Baby Doll had to be his housekeeper?
Yep, Bella. Yep, housekeeper, had, Bella. Yep.
Yeah, they had her doing the toilets and mucking a stall. It was just, that was great television. So I think WWE's missing out on being able to go back and recreate some of these extreme rules for their next pay-per-view. And I hope they'll get it together. Because every time they do Extreme Rules, I think for the past 4 years, I've said, you've had three matches with rules in them, stipulations. That's not what Extreme Rules should be. But who am I? I'm just Dave Denton, little wrestling fan in Logan, Utah, right?
Yeah, but they need to listen to people like us because we know what we want to see, but I don't – look, the next time, let's just have a thumb wrestling match in the middle of the ring like Kenny Omega and Daniel Bryan had a long time ago in Ring of Honor.
I love that. I love that idea. Or having one of those arm wrestling matches, you know. There's ways they could do this and be creative and do something completely off the wall, but they probably won't. And by the way, before I forget, I want to thank my friends at DCW, Devotion Championship Wrestling in Salt Lake City. This weekend is the FanX weekend in Salt Lake City. And they have set up a ring at FanX. Rekha Tahaka is there. Manny Lemons. I think Andrew Sowell is going to be there. The Ice Cream Man, Tom Chad, and some of the other stars of DCW promoting professional wrestling in Salt Lake City. Years ago, there was a wrestling ring at the FanX. It was Comic-Con then. And it was so much fun. And I know they've already put a picture up of Rekha with the crowd, and there's a big crowd there watching professional wrestling in Salt Lake City. So I wanted to wish them the best of luck. And then while I'm talking about that, if you live in Atlanta, Georgia, or if you're in that area, be listening on Saturday night, and I don't know the time, to Peachtree TV. That's the old Channel 17. They're going to have championship wrestling from Atlanta with our own Manny Lemons, and also Rekha Tahaka are going to be a part of it. I think Buff McShay is, and they're going to be part of this. And that's part of the group that also does championship wrestling from Memphis, championship wrestling from Arizona, championship wrestling from Hollywood, the United Network of Wrestling. I don't know if I got that name right. But anyway, I encourage you to try to find that if you have access to it. I'm hoping that they'll be winding up on YouTube or something so I can watch Rekha and Manny in this groundbreaking, going back to Atlanta, which you know and I know, Atlanta wrestling was what helped get us involved in professional wrestling.
Of course.
Yeah.
Atlanta was the NWA, and then it was WCW, and it was, there were some of the biggest names came out of Atlanta. You name it, they were Roddy Piper. He was out of Georgia. I mean, there was all kinds. You know, it doesn't matter who it was. Everybody who's anybody had come from Atlanta.
Yeah, they came through Atlanta at least one part of their career.
Yeah,
you know,
they came through Atlanta or they came through Georgia somehow. It's just like with Memphis. Everybody came through Memphis as well. But we always go back to either Atlanta or Memphis or Florida championship wrestling. but there's so many others. Go look on YouTube, guys. You will get your wrestling fix.
Some of the right AWA the matches with the Ganyas. That's where they got the start with the Road Warriors and more. So there's some great stuff to watch on YouTube. Now, let's move on to AEW because a couple of things happened this week that I just loved. I don't even think Orange Cassidy was on this week's show. Yeah, my wife's upset about that one. He was. He was on Dark last night on YouTube. Darn. I love that woman.
Well,
but this week, as they're doing their show, and they had FTR on there, and they had all, you know, some of the younger stars, some of the older stars. Sting was on there, Darby Allin. Then they were going to be doing something in the ring with Dan Lambert of America's Top Team. Now, this is an MMA group, Bellator.
Yeah.
Now, they did something like this in Impact Wrestling a couple of years ago when Bobby Lashley was there, if you remember that.
Yep, I remember.
They did something very, very similar. But Dan Lambert's got a really good mouth on him. He can really talk the talk. And he's down there. He's cutting a promo talking about how bad the crowd is and how stupid they are. And he made some very funny comments about the fans. And I'm going to play that for you in a little bit. But I want you to listen very closely to when Chris Jericho comes out with Jake Hager and how the crowd reacts to them cutting off Jericho's music. It's classic. And then Jericho and Lambert going back and forth, and Jericho, it's seemingly on the top of his head, making up a song about Dan Lambert and how the crowd reacts. It's the way you cut a promo. This is promo class 101, guys, because they cut it and they cut it good. So listen closely from AEW this week. Here is Dan Lambert and Chris Jericho.
If the truth hurts a little too much, cover up your fragile little ears. Every single year, if you wanted to know which wrestlers were most popular, you'd go out to the merchandise stand and see what was selling. But do that at an AEW show, and you learn more about its fan base than you do the wrestlers, because every single t-shirt is sold out. In men's small and women's extra large. If the truth hurts a little too much, cover up your fragile little ears for the next 60 seconds, and I promise you we will return to your regularly scheduled programming, at which time you can watch some 5'8", 149-pound dork throw 22 super kicks, climb up three levels to the highest balcony of the building, do a backflip all the way down to the floor, crashing through six tables onto its lifeless opponent, who will then kick out after a count of two. And you morons will go crazy.
Well, these morons are going crazy, all right.
Indeed they are, CM Punk.
Cut the music! You turn this shit off right now! They don't even know the words to this song! They're looking it up on their cell phones! Turn this shit off!
Dan Lambert is like if Bobby the Brain Heenan had a wardrobe full of affliction.
Dan Lambert, so good at his job, he forgot to introduce Junior Dos Santos, Andre Arlovsky, two-time Olympic gold medalist Kayla Harrison, Paige Van Zandt, and
Austin
Vanderford.
You're looking at your cell phones for the words!
There's a lot of impressive things going on right now, guys. I mean, in the ring, representing one of the greatest MMA teams of all time, you have UFC fighters, you have Bellator fighters, bare-knuckle fighters, PFL fighters.
Hey, Lambert, it sounds like there's 15,000 people here who love that song. You know, we could all sing along to your song, but none of us knows the words to I'm a fat-faced dipshit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm a fat-faced dipshit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm a fat-faced dipshit. I'm a fat-faced dipshit.
Is that a Fozzy song?
Okay. Okay, very, very funny. I will admit I'm a little surprised to see you be the one out here to defend these idiots and this company, but it actually makes sense because Tony Khan's not the master manipulator here. It's you, Chris Jericho. You will do and say anything you can to get these idiots to spend their allowance money their parents give them on your stupid Book of the Month Club and your Fuzzy records.
You guys get an allowance? You know, what is your problem, Lambert? You stand there every week like a grumpy old man, screaming at the AEW clouds, surrounded by the American top team. When I look at you, surrounded by all your meatheads of the American top team, I got one question. Which one of you guys is on top? You got nothing to say because all the power's in your fist because you rely on intimidation and scare tactics. You can't intimidate us, okay? Big Jake is undefeated in MMA fights. And I've been getting into skirmishes backstage with MMA guys my whole career. I got into it with a UFC champion, Beast, a few years ago. And a few years before that, I had a shoot fight with an MMA-trained Raging Bill backstage. They didn't kill me. I don't think you can either. But I'll say this. Like our friend and honorary Inner Circle member Mike Tyson once said, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. So why don't Big Jake and I come down there and knock those chipmunk buck teeth right down your effing throat?
You want to fool around and find out? You stop right there. I am the first one to say the quicker we get to it is the quicker we get through it. But if this is going to go down and you really want to see the men of the year fueled by American top team take out the Inner Circle jerk, you're gonna have to do it in a real city. It's not gonna happen in the shithole of New Jersey. If it's gonna go down, my friend, it's gonna go down in the biggest city of them all, the one that never sleeps. We'll see you next week in the Big Apple.
All right, Paige, Scorpio, if you're too much of a pussy to face us in Jersey, then we're gonna beat the living hell out of you next week, and there'll be no escape from New York for you.
Now, Chris, that was funny. That was funny.
I'm sorry. I had to play that. When you sent it to me, I had to play it twice. And everybody that I was where I'm at, where I was working, the one lady came in there and goes, who is that? I said, well, it's professional wrestling. She goes, oh, okay. She goes, I thought you were having a fight in your office. I went, no. But it was funny to listen to. That's how you cut a promo. It was perfect. Now, the guy that was doing it in the ring, what's his name again?
Dan Lambert.
That guy right there's got a set of lungs on him.
Yes, he does. And now like I said, they did something very similar with Dan in Impact TNA several years ago with Bobby Lashley. That was when Bobby was doing both wrestling and also Bellator. And they did a very, very similar bit. I don't have trouble with him doing it again. I think it's a great storyline. And then when he started singing that song about Dan Lambert, I just thought that was so funny. So
that was perfect. It was good. I mean, it was good stuff. And once they cut Jericho's music off and everybody started singing Judas,
Yeah.
And he's saying, they're on their phones. And they don't know the words. Oh. I loved it. I was like, what are you doing? Come on.
It was great.
You remind me of Bobby Heenan. Stop it.
It was really, really funny. Very well done. And one of the highlights for the whole night for me. I laughed my head off on that one. And then later on in the match, Bryan Danielson comes out and he's talking about wanting to fight Kenny Omega. So listen very closely because this isn't very long and I might even put it in twice. I think I will. So you can hear the announcer, Excalibur. Now, if you don't know who Excalibur is, he's a former professional wrestler and he still wears a mask even when he's working behind the mic as an homage to the luchador heritage that he started in. And I have no problem with that. But here he is talking about Don Callis as he comes through the ring with Kenny Omega. And I'm going to play it for you twice. This cracked me up.
The ice water enema, Don Callis. The ice water enema, Don Callis.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay.
Never heard it
put that way before.
Yeah, you're
an
iced enema. Yeah, there you go. Yes, there you go.
That's how I want to be remembered. I want that on my tombstone. Let me get that tattooed on my thigh.
I love that. And then years ago when I was working in Louisiana, we had this little lady that was working in the front office at the radio station, and she never said a curse word. Never. Never, never, yep. Never, never. One day she got mad at the sales manager, and she was hot. I mean, she was mad. And she looks at him right in the face, and she says, Bob, you're such a hemorrhoid. What a great thing to call somebody a hemorrhoid instead of a pain in the
ass. A hemorrhoid. You're a hemorrhoid. You need to slap that woman on the wrist. They don't ever do that again.
Oh, I laughed so
That's
hard.
The worst word I've ever heard. Yeah. Yeah.
You're a hemorrhoid. That's one way of putting it. Well, Chris, anything else in specific you want to talk about tonight?
Well, there's really nothing I can really talk about. I mean, if you watch the NWA, they had a slapping contest between two individuals. I don't know remember what their names were. Just look it up. And the NWA champion was there. And have you ever seen the slapping contest that they have now?
Yes. Yes, I have. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what they did. Wow. They reared back. And this was not playful. This was not staged. That boy took one heck of a hit. I knocked him out. I don't know how these boys can do it. If somebody slapped me like that, when does slapping, you know, not, it can knock you out, but
yeah,
that just kind of make me mad. But
yeah, you can say
but it was fine. It was with the NWA. That's great. But
trying something
the next
different.
Time? Yes, they are. They're trying something that they don't have the old studio anymore.
Yeah.
It's not the old, it's something new. They're trying something new out. But I don't really see anything in professional wrestling that's catching my eye except for, you know, what's the deal? How are they going to really, are they going to with Brock and Roman? Because, I mean, who else? Let Finn Balor please win the belt.
Well, that's one of the things they're going to be doing, I think, at Extreme Rules. I bet at Extreme Rules, and I can't remember if this one's booked yet or not. You know they have Finn Balor is going to be the demon.
Yeah, let him win the belt.
I would love that. I would absolutely love that.
Roman's had it long enough. Mm-hmm. Let him win the belt. The man, I mean, you're chasing away a star. And like Finn Balor said, I don't need the WWE.
Yeah, then he said, and the WWE doesn't need me.
Yeah, and the WWE doesn't need me.
Right.
What does that say? What does that say to a fan and to a star? What does that mean? Does that mean that everybody is getting tired of going to this three-ring circus and they want to go out and spread their wings even more?
Probably. Well, and now they have the opportunity to do that.
Well, the Bucktooth Beaver, Kevin Dunn, get your teeth fixed, please. You got enough money. The problem is Kevin Dunn is the one that's playing chutes and ladders with the WWE. He's the inside man. He's the one that's doing this. He's the one that's screwing all this up. And this other con guy, I think it's Osama bin Laden in disguise, and we just don't know it yet. Next thing you know, he'll be in the middle of the ring going, "It's me." You never thought you'd find me again. Hit customer support.
Yes.
Whatever. So, well, that's all I've got. I mean, you have anything that you've seen? I mean, I've seen from DCW's doing pretty well, but that's basically it.
Yeah, they're doing pretty good. There's a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, before we end it all, I want to once again wish Mike the best in his health struggles. And he's going through a major change in his life. And we wish him the best, and also his friends and family, because I know he's been a good friend to you for years. And he's been a friend of the podcast.
Yes,
and so once again, Mike, you're with us in our prayers, in our thoughts. And we hope to have you on again and keep us up to date about how it is and with your surgery.
Yeah, Mike messaged me after the podcast. He said, "I didn't mean to go so long." I said, "Dude, this podcast was for you, my friend. You could have gone as long as you needed to. It was all good. Don't worry."
It was good.
It's all good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see you again. And I'm going to I'm going to quote our friend Zane O'Mac, who should be with us on the next podcast. I'm going to say, for Zane, it's a great time to be a wrestling fan.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Wrestling was an essential service.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Correct!
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being.
Well, if you want a rematch, you aren't getting one.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm like, how are you going to write stories with that?
Hey, you used to work for Days of Our Lives or NBC. Can you write a wrestling show? Well, come on in.
Because Raw's ratings have been in the El Toile as of late. Yeah, I mean, not even the bidet can help them sometimes. I mean, they're just...
A tattoo in my colon.
Did you find it exciting?
No.
You know, we could all sing along to your song, but none of us knows the words to "I'm a fat-faced dipshit, yeah, yeah, yeah."
Well, they were just trying to be younger and hipper, trying to get to the young folks, the hip crowd. The people that smoke marijuana.
I heard that.
I'm a fat faced dipshit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm a fat faced dipshit. I'm a fat faced dipshit.
I heard that.
The ice water enema.com.